We begin life on a journey, walking along, and even as little kids, we notice an amazing intelligence behind the design we see on Earth. We see this amazing creation, we see the order, the design behind it all, and it makes us wonder, if there's this kind of design and this kind of order, there must be someone who's a designer, an engineer behind this order. We walk through life and we wonder, how can I know this creator? If there is someone, something behind all of this creativity and beauty and wonder, and in our amazement, we go, how can I have a relationship? Can I walk with this creator? Can I know this God who made me? And so we approach someone who says, I know how to help you have a relationship with God. I know how to get you in with God. And so they say to us, step right on up here. Robert, where are you? Step right on up here because I've got a system for you. I've got a system. And it's going to fix your life. You're going to feel good about yourself. You're going to feel good about the man upstairs, people say. So step right on here to my system right here. Yes, yes, yes. And interns are allowed to wear shorts when I tell them to do crazy things. If you don't know Robert Blazer, get to know him. He's pretty cool. So Robert, get on my system and get going, okay? All right, because if you do these things and you don't do these things, lots of them, I got about 300 or 400 for you, okay? Keep it in mind. As you're walking, a little faster. God's not happy with that. You got to go faster. Work harder. Oh, by the way, you messed up. So we got to do this. Throw on some weight. Some good old guilt will help you. Work harder. God will be happier with you if you have some weight on. Oh, you messed up. You messed up. You thought a wrong thought. You said a wrong thing. You did something wrong. More weight. Put that on. No taking it off. Because if you want God to smile on your life, I don't think that we have workers' comp on you. If we want you to have a blessed life, we want to have your best life now, okay? And so we got to put more weight on this. You got to keep up your end of the bargain with God, okay? You got this, okay? Faster, a little faster. There we go. There's a speed button. Go, 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 go. And here's the deal. You walk into a Barnes & Noble bookstore, go to the inspiration aisle where they sell Christian-labeled books, and 7 out of 10 books, we're training you for the Marine Corps, by the way. 7 out of 10 books under the Christian label. And I'm not going to name names of books right now, but they're trying to sell Christianity as this. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Do more, try harder, be better. If you don't, God's not going to be happy with you. You're not going to have a blessed life. You're not going to have your best life. You got to keep the charge going, going, going. Onus is on you. Wash your face. Fix your life. It's on you. And so we end up exhausted, even depressed. Can we go faster? And it keeps going. And all these voices around us are saying, this is how you walk with God. This is how you get in on the inside track with your creator. This is how you earn enough stars on your chart, enough merit badges with God. You start sweating it out. You start exhausting. And pretty much, you want to quit. You know, you could go into churches and this is how we kept the service short at 9:15, by the way. You could go into a lot of churches and hear the same message. Maybe you've even heard it here, implicitly or maybe even overtly. But the question that I have for Robert before he dies and for you this morning is, what does God say to the exhausted? What does God say? What does God say? Oh, wait, you got to keep that, but you can jump off. Pull the cord. Oh. But see, sometimes we're living for the applause too, aren't we? Uh-oh. that really happens at church. Man, you're doing a good job. Keep it going. You must be so close to God. I want to be like you. What does God say to the exhausted? When you feel like thrown in the towel, burned out on religion, giving up because you can't keep up your end of the bargain. Oh, you thought a wrong thought. You said a wrong thing. You did something you knew you weren't supposed to do. And this cloud hangs over your life and your soul is restless and you want to just quit. What does God say to the exhausted? Jesus walked the streets of Galilee and Judea, the highways and byways. He saw all the people scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And the people who are supposed to be guiding all of the masses of people into a relationship with God were instead throwing on weight after weight after weight. They took the law of Moses and they added 365 prohibitions and 250 extra commands of definition for addition and elaboration on all that God, they thought, was commanding of his people. It got so strict that on the Sabbath day, here's what they said. You can't wear your false teeth on the Sabbath day because that's carrying a burden. I'm not making this up. You can't walk over a patch of grass, which probably isn't too difficult in Israel because it's kind of arid, but you can't walk over patches of grass because a grass blade might have gone to seed. And if your leg hits the seed and it knocks on the ground, you're sowing seed on the Sabbath. Can you imagine trying to keep a track of all these rules? Constant, constant, constant. And it's not just to appease this person telling you. It's the belief that you have to do that to appease God, for his smile to be on your life, for you to get out of life what you think you should get out of life, or what you think it means to walk with God. A crushing weight, a heavy burden. And we show up at church and we have our smiles on, or we're hiding our smiles behind our masks. And some of you, I know this because for years and years I struggled and I still sometimes struggle with this belief that a self-help system is the way to walk with God. That God will somehow love me more or less on the basis of what I do. So I got to keep up my end of the bargain. What does God say? So Jesus enters into this scene where all of these people, including the Pharisees and the scribes themselves, they were heavily burdened. They were under the same crushing weight that they themselves had devised. And so they willingly foisted upon everybody else the same thing that was burdening them down. Everybody was heavily burdened and weary. And so is everybody across the whole world. And Jesus says something. He says something radically different. This is what most people call the summary call of discipleship Jesus gives. And it's not just how to enter a relationship with God. It's how to enter and to walk with God. This isn't just for people who aren't Christians. This is for everybody. This is for the process of your journey with Jesus, whether you don't have that right now or whether you have been following him and still feeling like you're carrying a heavy burden. Jesus says something radical. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, this is what God in Christ says to the exhausted. Three invitations. They're not forced, coercive commands. They're three invitations that lead to one promise. And these three invitations are interlocked. They go hand in hand. They're one, two, three. And you really can't have one or two without three, or one without two or three. They are interlinked and they result in God's one promise to everybody who's exhausted and worn out and heavy laden and can't keep it up enough. Like me, like you, during the year of COVID-19, during the year of constant temptation and tantalizing distraction, Oh, that's every year. A year, a time, a moment, a day. When you face life in this broken world and it makes you weary and exhausted. Jesus' first invitation is, come as you are. But before he launches into that, in verse 20, he begins this set of woe judgments to Chorazin, to Bethsaida. And Chorazin and Bethsaida are these cities that had seen Jesus' works and they'd heard Jesus' words. They were filled with Jewish people who had synagogues. They could hear the Torah read. They had a privileged position, they thought, an inside track with God, and yet they wouldn't listen to Jesus, and they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't receive his good news. And so he says this shocking thing. He says, it's going to be better for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. Why did he do that? Because they weren't coming with nothing. The only way to come to the Father is to come with nothing. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it begins this way. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Infants! Babies who need everything, who don't have anything, who can't do anything for themselves. I have three kids. I know what it's like to change diapers. An infant can't change their diaper. An infant can't feed themselves. An infant can't get up into the crib. They can try to get out of the crib. 3-month-old can't do either. An infant needs everything. Infant. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father through the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son through the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Which means the only way to have a relationship with God, our Father, the Creator, of all that we see in this beautiful universe, the only way to walk with him and know him is to come through the Son. And the only way to come to the Son is to come like a child who needs everything and who has nothing. Childlike trust. That's the only way to God. Not a system of self-help. Not all of the extra rules and regulations and extra biblical traditions that we want to mount upon each other's shoulders. None of that. Infants come with nothing and receive everything, and that's the only way to get everything in Jesus is to come with nothing. And then Jesus turns to the crowds, verse 28, and he says, come to me. God says, come as you are. Come to me. To come to Jesus is to come to him and have relationship with the Father. He just explained that, the only way, which means if you come to him, you have full acceptance in God's presence. That God already approves of you because not on what you've done or not done, but because he approves of his Son and the completed work of the Son on the cross of Calvary and in his glorious resurrection, complete. Finished for you, he shouted to Tetelestai on the cross. And so when the Father looks at you, he sees the Son, and you're approved of God in the Son. And so anybody can come to him. Come as you are. He makes it clear when he says, come to me all. And in the Greek language, the word all means all. It means everybody. All who are weary. Weary from the journey, worn out from carrying the weight that you can't carry any longer, and heavy laden, burdened down. Come to me all, which means Jesus' invitation to come as you are is open to all Republicans and all Democrats, all libertarians, all socialists, all communists, all constitutionalists, all rich people, all middle-class people, all poor people, all English-speaking people, all Spanish-speaking people, all Swahili-speaking people, all Portuguese-speaking people, all French-speaking people, everybody, every ethnicity, everybody's invited. Anyone can get in on this. Come to me, all heterosexual people, all LGBTQ people. Anybody can come to Jesus. All addicted people, substance abusing people, all incarcerated people, all perfect people who think they don't have anything wrong even, all educated people, all uneducated people. It really means all. Do you believe that? All means all. Jesus says, come all who are weary and heavy laden, and that's everybody. Restless, weary and worn out from the journey. And Jesus promises, and I will give you rest. Ugh. Rest. He's not just talking about physical rest. He's talking about rest in your soul. He's going to define that when he repeats the promise a little later in this short promise. To know that you have communion with God, and it's not attached to a self-help system. It's not attached to what you do or don't do. It's attached, linked in only to Jesus Christ, who brings you to the Father. Everybody, anyone can get in on this. So you, friends, this morning here at Mayfair Bible Church, are you worn out? Are you tired of religion stuff? Churches can be pretty good at that. Get on the wagon, sign up for this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Serving is wonderful. God calls us to serve and use his Spirit-given gifts, right? But we don't do that in order to come to him. We don't do that to get applause. We don't do that for people to look up to us. Instead, Jesus invites us to finally rest. Come as you are. Come as you are. And then he continues in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke, I have one here. Thank you to Doris Odegaard. I have two, actually. She's extra generous. Doris, if you're here. Not sure if you're here. I love you. So, if you've seen in Greenfield Village, where I used to go as a kid, and sometimes I'd take my kids there, sometimes they'll have a giant plow horse, a huge horse, Clydesdale or something like that, workhorse, huge horse, and then they'll have a small horse or an ox and then a small bullock, and then the yoke, the little horse or the little bullock is carrying nothing. There's nothing going on. The plow horse, the big ox, carrying everything. And the little horse is just walking along, learning to walk, learning to walk. This is what Jesus says. He says, receive my life, because Jesus alone has the power and the strength and the grace for you, for me, in this journey of life. So come as you are, then receive my life. That's what Jesus' invitation is. Take my yoke. It's not come over here, keep all the baggage on, keep all that. No, instead he takes all that stuff off, like we saw on Robert's shoulders, and then he puts something entirely new in you, his life. See, the gospel is not about making bad people good. It's about making dead people alive. And when you're alive in Jesus Christ, then his life flows out of you and everything changes. You have a new set of desires, a new set of motivations, a new perspective about world and life and purpose as you learn to live out his life. Take. That's not what we expect to hear from God. He's saying, take this from me. Take my yoke. Receive my life for yours. That's the only way to have life with God, is to receive the life of Jesus Christ, his life for mine, redemption and power through him, through his glorious resurrection. Jesus says, come as you are, receive my life. Take up my yoke. I've been trying to teach my kids how to ride bicycles, and Hudson is blazing off on his bicycle. He's doing great. Everlyn's figuring it out still, you know. And last week, I sprained my back holding on to her seat. Dads, moms, you've done this before, you know. So I'm holding the back seat of her little bike that's probably too small for her. I'm going, okay. And she's going, yeah, Daddy, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And I'm spraining my back and pushing her along and balancing the bike and holding the seat. And she's convinced she's really riding that bike. The truth is, if I let go, the whole thing would crash. She's trusting Daddy. How many times do we go along through the Christian life and go, God, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm really special. Look at me. God, I'm doing it. And he's going, just walk with me. Come as you are. Receive my life. It's not about you. It's not. It's about living out his life, leaning into him, allowing him to take off the burdens from your shoulders right now, Christian. This isn't just for the unsaved to hear. Maybe you've been tacking on a lot of things, thinking if I do this, I do this, I don't do this, do this, trying to keep your chart up so that God will be happy with you. Maybe we've gotten the whole thing backwards. It's a response to his grace, not in order to receive or get more of his grace. True rest is found not in a self-help system, but in a Savior, Jesus Christ. True rest. Augustine said, you've probably heard me quote this before because I say it to myself enough, because I have to remember this. It's a moment-by-moment journey. Oh, Lord, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are forever restless until they find their rest in thee. Born in this, with eternity set in our hearts, our souls are restless. God made us for himself to be in communion with him, to have a relationship with him, and we're restless until we find rest in him. Chuck Swindoll, one of my mentors from afar, said one time, I got a quote here to my left, God never asked us to meet life's pressures and demands on our own terms or by relying upon our own strength, nor did he demand that we win his favor by assembling an impressive portfolio of good deeds. I'm guilty of that, trying to do that. You? Yeah, yes. Instead, he invites us to enter his rest. Rest. Come as you are. Receive my life. Walk with me. Walk with me. That's the third invitation. And learn from me. That's a root word tied to discipleship. Mathete. Disciple. Walk with me. Learn how I speak. Listen to my words. So you take up this Bible and you don't read it as a duty ethic. You read it as God's love letter to you, as God's loving compass for your life, as his words to you for your benefit, for your experience of his love and truth and grace. Learn from me. Walk with me. Why? How is it? Because, he says, for, it's an explanatory clause, for I am gentle and humble in heart. This would sound so foreign to the original listeners when Jesus said this to the masses of scattered sheep, like sheep without a shepherd, with heavy loads of a Pharisaical burden over their shoulders. Can you imagine hearing that? Imagine hearing it now for you. Gentle, not harsh. There's a lot of harsh churches, a lot of harsh pastors, a lot of legalistic, rule-based, man-made religion, and that's not Jesus. He's gentle and humble, and he leads his people to be gentle and humble. We have no reason to boast because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Sometimes we can get caught up into this cycle of thinking, if I have more years under my belt, then I must be closer to God. If I have more orthodox doctrine in my head, then I must be nearer to God. And what the sad truth is, and Francis Schaeffer wrote about this very authentically in his classic book, True Spirituality. He said after going to school, seminary, and all this stuff, and pastoring, he came to the end of himself when he realized that all these people who are fighting over orthodox doctrine, as good as that might be, were no more like Jesus Christ and the fruits of the Spirit than they were 20 or 30 years ago, and he himself was the same way. You can have all this knowledge which can puff up. You can have a privileged position like Chorazin and Bethsaida, inside track, it appeared, with God, and you're not coming with nothing, so you don't receive everything in Jesus. Come as you are. Receive my life. It's not about our works, our effort. It's about what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. God doesn't love me. God doesn't love you more or less on the basis of what you do, but on the basis of what Jesus Christ, his Son, has done, completed, finished. Rest in that, friends. Rest in that. Maybe some of us here have gotten the whole cart upside down for 50, 60, 80 years because we thought that the Christian life began with, yeah, come to Jesus, that's the way to the Father. Then get on the system, will ya? Get to work. Keep up your end of the bargain. Not as a response to God's grace to serve him with love, but as a ethic, a duty ethic, as John Piper would say, to try to earn God's love, more of it somehow. That's not family relationship. God says we're adopted into the family, inheritors with all the saints in light. If you come to Jesus, you've been brought into the Father, and you receive the Son's life, and then you get to walk with God for the rest of your life as his child. Not as an employee getting a paycheck. Come as you are. Come as you are. And then Jesus says, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12. And in that section, Isaiah is talking about these people who were offered rest from God if they would just submit to God's good and gracious will and love. And they wouldn't, so they didn't receive rest for their souls. And Jesus is saying, God's invitation still stands. Jesus' invitation to rest still stands to everybody. You can find rest for your souls. If you submit to Christ, you'll find rest in Christ. Submitting to Christ is taking up the yoke, receiving it from him, receiving his life, and then learning to walk with him. And he carries the burden. It's the last line there. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in the original Greek, what does that mean? Well, it's been translated a lot of different ways over the last 500 years. So Tyndale, William Tyndale, first translated it this way. I have a list here. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1526. 1611 version of the King James. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Revised version, 1881. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Say it with me. The Revised Standard Version, 1946. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then a bunch of new scholars who think they're really important. No, I'm just kidding. 2001, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, which means Jesus means what he says and says what he means, and it really just means really all that. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not harsh, it's not crushing, it's not burdensome. How many followers of Jesus enter the Christian life and then walk around like this? You been there? I have. Be honest, we're in church. We can be honest here. Jesus' invitation is come as you are, receive my life, and walk with me. Walk with the one who's gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. You walk in his steps. And all too often what we do is, wait, Jesus, I got this. I'm going to charge ahead. No, I think I got the plan figured out. You never do that, do you? It's only me. And Jesus is saying, just walk with me. Walk with me. You'll find rest for your souls. And when you make that shift, then his life begins to show through your life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control. His life overflows out of your life when you're walking in step with him. When you're walking with him. I love how Eugene Peterson put it in his paraphrase. Some people have knocked him over that. The Message is a paraphrase. It's not a translation, but he translated Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 this way. You'll see it on the screen here. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live. You'll learn to live freely, lightly. You'll learn what life is really all about, the abundant life in Jesus Christ. So we come like Robert over here. Come right on up here. Yes. Thank you for getting a bottle of water too, by the way. And we're on the system, and we're going, and we're going, and instead, yeah, you can hop back on there. Yeah. And we're charging along, and we're keeping on the system, and finally, we reach the point of exhaustion. And maybe for some of you here this morning, you've reached that exhaustion point. Maybe you're exhausted by this whole system you believe is church or God, what you've been told about Jesus. And instead of that, Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to take it all off. That's what forgiveness looks like. No more fear, guilt, and shame. Faith, hope, and love takes over. And then you're just waiting for God to say, all right, let's turn this on. Instead, he says, nope, actually, just walk with me. Just walk with me. Free. Chains off, backpacks off, all the weights off. And then you learn to actually live. This is Jesus' invitation. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? I want you to think about a few questions. Maybe you say, I'm not exhausted, really. I feel pretty good. But do you rest without guilt? Do you rest without guilt? In your life, do you oscillate between driven achievement and some form of private escape? Are you guilty of telling others about rest and not taking it yourself? Am I able to distinguish between my part, which is walking with God, and God's part in response to what concerns me? Have I been going through the motions, manufacturing emotions I really don't have? Have you been teaching others to do things that lead to a deeper relationship with Jesus that we're not doing for ourselves? Have you felt trapped? Like something's wrong and you don't know what and cannot fix it? Have people begun to irritate you so much that you avoid being around them? Just more angry. Short-fused, frustrated over small decisions, over change of plan. And your trust in God is waning and your frustration in God grows. Or your frustration in other people, you might be exhausted. Do you even remember what it is that brings you joy? Have you felt like there is really no one to talk to and even your prayer time has suffered, or it's just sounds rehearsed, the same worn-out phrases over and over and over? Is the ambient noise in your life even low enough to hear God's whisper when he says through his word, come to me, come to me. Find rest for your souls. In Christ, you don't have anything to prove because God approves of you in his Son. In Christ, you don't have anything to lose because you have everything in Jesus and he won't lose you. In Christ, you don't have anything to hide because God already knows everything about you and he still loves you. Do you believe this? Rest in him. Oh God, we praise you and thank you. Oh, that you would call us to yourself, that we could hear your voice through your word saying, come to me, find rest for your souls. And we recognize that your Holy Spirit is the one who opened up our stopped up ears and our calloused hearts so that we could even respond. Teach us to walk moment by moment in the steps of Christ, leaning on him, not pulling our own way, trusting in him, not trusting in ourselves. To be people who are actually truly at rest because we've not found it in a system of self-help, but in a Savior, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. My friend Dave is